information is free.
The law?
There is hope.
When ignorance is converted into knowledge,
we care.
And it shows.
The law?
The country.
You will remember nine you have seen or heard here.
Whether he went on with the diary, or whether he did not cooperate, made no difference. The thought police would get him just the same.
The government knew they were innocent. They have no idea what they're up against.
The obvious option is to try to disrupt the means of communication. But it's worth recognizing that even if you shut down Twitter, word of mouth still works just as it did over a century ago. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, to episode 128 of MediaMonarchy.com. My name's James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, bringing you all the news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. There is no shortage this week. It's the Portland PSYOP prep with Ardent Sentry and Operation Blackjack, the NORAD NORTHCOM terror drills. We've got homeland hackers, cyberspace singularity, censorship and media smears, dissent, detention in Fort Detrick, swine flu, bio wars, and mass vaccinations, along with Obamasiah TV, the NSA, the CIA, and Iran on fire. It's all here, episode 128 of MediaMonarchy.com.
I have
before the sun.
Brand new music from the British trio known as Placebo. That's the title track from their brand new record, Battle for the Sun. And it sets the stage perfectly for what we're seeing and what we're about to see. Artists tapping in to the zeitgeist. Ladies and gentlemen, let me formally welcome you to the 128th episode of MediaMonarchy.com. My name's James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show. It's June 19th, 2009, and this transmission originates from the studios of the Portland Radio Authority in Southeast Portland, Oregon. PRARadio.org, live every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Time. And of course, huge thanks and appreciation to our slowly growing list of affiliates. ZeroPointRadio.com, playing the show live for you now, 11 a.m. Mountain Time. Also on 92.3 in Casper, Wyoming. Thanks to the Revere Radio Network, the worldwide home of free speech, revereradio.net. It's 1 p.m. on the eastern side. We also thank Free Radio Olympia, frolympia.org, 98.5, and my neighbor to the north in Washington, broadcasting, rebroadcasting Media Monarchy, Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, boulderfreeradio.com, KBFR 93.9, and cascadiapublicradio.org. Again, huge thanks to all of you guys. You can get in contact with me a little easier now that Facebook updated their little user URL daily. Facebook.com/MediaMonarchy. It's making for quite the strange mix of news, politics, conspiracy fans of Media Monarchy on my Facebook page, as well as dudes I went to high school with. So it's making for an interesting mix, and I really like the idea that, you know, somebody like Spencer from Chicago Cop Watch can post something about Orwell and Huxley, and we can talk about it. And again, folks I haven't seen in 20 years can read about it and go, hey, what's going on? And that's why we're doing this. But again, FaceSpace, YouTube, Yahoo, IM, Skype, Twitter, iTunes, RadioForAll.net, and Archive.org. And let me thank, especially after my pissy last week. But we're under a lot. We're looking down the barrel of a lot. But I want to thank, first, my man Alan for offering a donation to MediaMonarchy.com. I've often thought about putting a donation button up just to help pay some dues. I don't do this for money. I do it because it's my passion. I do my jobby job for money. I do this for me and you. Thanks to Sheila and Spencer and Dave in the UK and James Corbett and my man Zach and Johnny, both here in Portland. So it's a battle for the sun, my friends. If we glance at Google News right now on this June 19th morning, we see EU leaders stepping up Iran election criticism, no Illinois perjury charge for Roland Burris, and the U.S. military set to intercept North Korean ship suspected of proliferating missiles and nukes. Ratcheting up the provocations and fears. We went over the scary situation on the geopolitical scene on the B-side of episode 127, where Japan is saying North Korea may launch missiles at Hawaii on the 4th of July. And it's in the New York Times and all around. My friends, the most important thing and the most interesting and frightening thing is what's swirling around right now. I'm going to preface all this by promoting and pointing you, imploring you to my recent interview with Clyde Lewis of the Ground Zero Lounge. We talked on Wednesday via the telephone, Skype recording, posted up as a standalone Media Monarchy episode for you, where we talk about the terror drills that started yesterday on the 18th, run by NORAD and NORTHCOM, called Ardent Century 09. There are also some sub-war games going on, and this is basically nationwide. Why is this important? Well, one, we always pay attention to the drills. Drills going on in 9/11, exact same thing happens. Drills going on in 7/7, exact same thing happens. Now, the drills we've shined lights on beforehand, of course, nothing happens. So, in a way, are you a victim of that success that nothing happens? So people say, oh, you're crazy fear-mongering about the latest terror drill and they're going to blow up Portland. What makes this more interesting is the overlay of something called Operation Blackjack. And if you're not familiar, it's a fictional scenario, a slideshow story by the London Telegraph, which started early this year and depicts worldwide terror attacks beginning in London on June 20th. There's so much speculation, there's so much psyop and disinformation swirling around Operation Blackjack and Ardent Century. It whiffs of something strange. Or it could just be a genius predictive programming or marketing strategy for a video game. But again, I'm pointing you to the interview I did with Clyde Lewis of the Ground Zero Lounge. It's going to run right after this live episode right now on ZeroPointRadio.com. And again, let me remind you to go over there, ZeroPointRadio.com/chat.html. Join in the room. I'm on there now. I'm on Instant Messenger, Media Monarchy. They're going to run that interview. I don't have time to play the clip. It's there for you. It's a standalone one-hour interview. Me and Clyde Lewis talking about Ardent Century and Operation Blackjack, the strange convergence of terror drills in Oregon, and the London Telegraph's fictional scenario known as Operation Blackjack, from June 18th till the 24th. We're soaking in it. NORAD and NORTHCOM are running Ardent Century 09. Ardent, A-R-D-E-N-T, Century, like one who watches. S-E-N-T-R-Y, Ardent Century 09. A series of military exercises in Iowa, Kansas, Wyoming, and Oregon with, quote, simulated train derailments and foreign animal disease and an incident involving a simulated nuclear weapon. Clyde and I previously discussed Operation Blackjack on episode 115 of Media Monarchy, and he went into the whole deal in depth at the Ground Zero Lounge back in March on the episode called Guerrilla Fearmongering. Both of those, of course, linked up for you. However, what we didn't know then was that the events depicted in the Telegraph's slideshow story would coincide with these nationwide drills, as well as the summer solstice, sun symbology, Barack Hussein Obama and the two-state settlement, the grand chessboard, and just the growing sense of rising tensions in both outer and inner space. Is this speculation or mystery religion, prophecy, fear-mongering, predictive programming? Is this Armageddon or just an apocalypse of the soul? As Clyde says at the end of the interview, he's not here to scare you, but to try and prepare you. Nice compliment and comment from Reflux the Chemist, thanking us for the interview. He listened to it, heard about the two-state settlement and Barack Hussein Obama and Cairo, the city of Mars, and Israel, and then read the same thing later. This story goes into perhaps biblical prophecies, psychological operations, war games, marketing, paranoia. I cannot go into all the nooks and crannies and rabbit holes of this story. But again, so that's the posting for the interview, and I plead with you to get it far and wide. But if we jump to the main post, on MediaMonarchy.com about Ardent Century 09, NORAD and NORTHCOM terror drills, June 18th to the 24th. We note that we're paying extra attention in Oregon as these military exercises coincide with the fictional Operation Blackjack explosion shown to happen in Portland on June 22nd. The slide is up there for you. Let's read the press release from United States Northern Command, NORTHCOM. North American Aerospace Defense Command and U.S. Northern Command are planning to conduct a combined exercise June 18th to the 24th that will incorporate several military exercises with a National Guard exercise. These linked exercises are referred to as Ardent Century 09. Events will take place in multiple venues across the country, including Iowa, Kansas, Oregon, Wyoming, and off the East and West coasts. The exercise will allow several Department of Defense organizations and some federal and state partners to implement plans and respond to a variety of notional events. Historically, exercises like these have helped both the Department of Defense and other agencies review their processes and procedures and focus their future training efforts on closing gaps and identifying areas that need additional attention. Major Ardent Century 09 venues include NORAD's Amalgam Dart exercise, involving air defense activities at Camp Rileya in Oregon. R-I-L-E-A, Camp Rileya in Oregon. The National Guard's Vigilant Guard exercise focused on civil support with major activities in Des Moines, Iowa, and Topeka, Kansas, in the heartland. There's also a Nuclear Weapons Incident Exercise, N-U-W-I-A-X, Nuclear Weapons Incident Exercise with U.S. Air Force Response near Cheyenne, Wyoming. The activities in the vicinity of Camp Rileya in Oregon will involve the deployment of an Army National Guard ground-based air defense system that will be integrated with Air Force Airborne Systems, AWACS and fighters, and a Navy Aegis destroyer. That's a huge ship up in our port. Iowa, Kansas, Missouri, and Nebraska National Guard units will respond to multiple events in Iowa and Kansas, including simulated train derailments and foreign animal disease. In Wyoming, Air Force Space Command will respond to an incident involving a simulated nuclear weapon. Some of the other updates and related posts where we note just one of the private military contractors that I found involved in this drill is called Selah Leadership Solutions, S-E-L-A-H. Iowa Guard seeks paid victims for the exercise. Boeing, searching for information about Ardent Century and Operation Blackjack on the mysterious website known as jackblack12.info. More on that in a moment. Air defense exercise to test NORTHCOM response. Iowa Guard exercise to kick off June 18th. Camp Rileya to host military defense exercise. And Kansas area guardsmen participating in multi-state exercise. Those are from some of the smaller press outlets in the affected cities. This post has gone viral, at least as far as my meager Media Monarchy goes. In the last day and a half, there have been thousands and thousands of hits. 4 or 5 plus times what I typically get on MediaMonarchy.com. So, of course, you always want to stick around to the end of the episode where we go over the list of creepy customers coming to MediaMonarchy.com. It's a good one this time. But again, this post has been reposted on places like Above Top Secret and David Icke and all around. And let's get to the comments. Mike Philbin said it's much worse than that. And this goes into what's referred to as the hexadecimal code that is hidden within the Telegraph's Operation Blackjack photo series. When you break that down, when you put it into a hexadecimal code translator, you find messages like, "This is not simply entertainment. This is the final warning on this site." This site meaning the Telegraph. "All further warnings will be given on jackblack12.info. Beware Ardent Sentry. Be alert for semis bearing the Sun logo. Not all federal authorities are involved. Mike Philbin closes up that comment by saying either this is going to happen or it's a really sick joke. JackBlack12.info. Another comment says, I happen to find a calendar of these exercises through a Google search. In this PowerPoint, it seems to show Ardent Sentry is taking place July 20th through the 31st, 2009. That would be national level exercise. That's next month's terror drills. If we can make it to those, that's the Northrop Grumman FEMA terror drills. Ardent Sentry is now. Another anonymous posting. This one has a different feeling to it. A genuine attempt to stop the unimaginable. Somewhat amateurish, but well-intended attempt. It only resembles the enemy. I think this is someone at the beginning of their training still learning how to fight fire with fire. Again, noting the strange things that have been going on the strange website, jackblack12.info. Next comment. They say the timers and hexadecimal codes says this isn't going to happen until June 21st, 2010. There's so much, like I mentioned, local and regional press linked up for you. And that's why I'm glad folks will get out Media Monarchy's post. Because again, I think what I give you that a lot of other places don't, I give you the massive documentation. That's why I don't have a million posts a day. I'm behind the scenes working on giving you all the info that I can possibly cram in. Ardent Sentry 09 NORAD NORTHCOM terror drills running now, starting yesterday, June 18th to the 24th. So that's the post. Get it out. Another note on the strange JackBlack12.info, which again is where the slideshow on the Telegraph has directed you to after they stopped updating Blackjack on the Telegraph's page. It's been up, it's been down, it's had strange timers counting up, counting down. If you go to the page now, it redirects you to something called Macbeth, and it looks like a photo of cars in traffic in Mexico. This was updated just mere hours ago. It also has strange code hidden within the page, where when we Googled that, I found a foreign website that I've had translated, Uma Nova Ordium Mundial. .blogspot.com. And just this morning, they have posted that Obama admits attack imminent and Department of Homeland Security threat level increases. Obama admits attacks on the U.S. are likely. That goes to Press TV, Homeland Security. And on and on and on. I don't know what to make of all this. But in the interview with Clyde, we go into much greater detail about what's contained in the fictional slideshow. But again, it kicks off June 20th, 2009, with a bomb going off in London and then moving to the west with New York and Toronto and LA and Portland all being hit with bombs. And there's bizarre symbology, teardrop, lots of water references, sun symbology, watch out for vans with sun logos on them. Again, I don't know what to make of this. We're just putting it all on the record that something wicked this way comes. Something sinister. Sinister forces seem to be at work. I'm just going to keep watching the skies here in Portland. But again, it's on the record. It's there. Spread this far and wide. But again, as we noted at the top of the show, from Placebo, that it is a battle for the sun. There's the symbology again. So whether any of this is bizarre propaganda, marketing, psyops, or strange mystery religion, sun worship prophecies, I don't know. But let's jump to all the latest on the cyberspace war. I've got the post I didn't have time to hit last week, but hell, it ties in to this week's show just as well, if not better. Cyberspace war, homeland hackers, and a paid internet. We first note at the top with a headline from threat level hacker called Dark Tangent. That's Jeff Moss. He's now joined the Department of Homeland Security Security Council. Or the Department of Redundancy Department. But from Federal Computer Week, bills would kill DHS Satellite Surveillance Office. A senior House Democrat introduced legislation that would kill the controversial National Applications Office, NAO, a Homeland Stupidity Department-run program to make intel and military satellite imagery available to civilian agencies for domestic purposes. Representative Jane Harman, chairwoman of the Homeland Security Committee's Intelligence Information Sharing and Terrorism Risk Assessment Subcommittee, introduced a bill on June 4th that would require DHS to immediately close NAO. She's also introduced a measure co-sponsored by Representative Norman Dix, Democrat out of Washington, to prohibit DHS from spending any money on the NAO or any similar program. Any admiration of Jane Harman wanting to shut down any bit of Homeland Stupidity's control grid should be tempered with knowing that she's behind pushing Homeland paranoia, terranoia, homegrown terrorism, and radical, violent dissenters. Remember conflating 9/11 truth with Holocaust deniers? Hey, that I think we've seen that again lately. But I digress. A list of headlines, again, on the cyberspace war tip. Universal Rubik's Cube could become Pentagon shapeshifter, of course, only from Danger Room. RedIceCreations.com, who I don't mention very often, but I should mention more. Heinrich Palmgren runs Red Ice Radio at RedIceCreations.com. They've got more on all the strange crop circles that actually have been popping up. Two bits on this. First a jellyfish, now a dragonfly. Giant crop circles just get weirder. However, from the Honolulu Exopolitics Examiner, a SETI pioneer, that search for intelligent, or rather extraterrestrial something, you know, SETI at home, use your computer to help sift info from space. SETI pioneer debunks crop circles as ET communications. And he's probably right. How can cyberspace be defended? That's from nationaljournal.com. Collateral damage from cyber warfare? From /. Pirate Party wins an EU parliament seat, and that's people actually aligned with Pirate Bay. Voting machine company Sequoia agrees to hand over their source code. Another hacker, this time Gary McKinnon, being reportedly too fragile to extradite. That's from the BBC. Indiana University announces new security informatics master's degree. We've noted many, many times when they blow out the fake economy, the only jobs are going to be in Homeland Stupidity. Those are all the greatest new degrees that you can get. How to be a snitch for the Stasi state. USA Today to introduce a digital edition for a fee. Army orders bases to stop blocking Twitter, Facebook, and Flickr, but despite Army order, some bases still ban Twitter, Facebook, Flickr. That's from Danger Room both times. NSA ill-suited for domestic cybersecurity role. That's from the CIA Examiner on examiner.com. We briefly mentioned this at the end of the episode last week as I was trying to cram everything in, but let's hit it fully. From ZDNet, the internet absolutely will become a paid system within 5 years. The days of the free internet will draw to a close over the next 5 years, according to the chairman and chief executive of IAC, the interactive services company, which operates a collection of more than 30 internet sites, which produce $1.5 billion a year in revenue. The only missing link, according to Barry Diller, who cut his teeth building up over the air and cable TV networks. Barry Diller. He's got got a good billing system akin to Amazon's one-click button or the Apple iPhone slick downloading of paid apps. I absolutely believe the internet is passing from its free days into a paid system. Inevitably, I promise you, it will be paid. Quote from Diller. In a keynote discussion opening up the Advertising 2.0 conference held at his company's futuristic glass building alongside the Hudson River in Manhattan. Not every single thing, but anything of value. So, it will be a paid internet, it will be a tiered system, it will be Internet 2, they will force you onto those toll roads. So, and it's for two reasons. Of course, the more sinister command and control reasons. But also, right there, where was he speaking? At the Advertising 2.0 conference. Banksters want your bucks. But of course, you gotta let them in. You gotta invite them in. And we have. The next more recent posting on Cyberspace War, Singularity, Censorship, Malware, Mars, and the Moon. First up, amazingly, one in a million, German boy hit by a meteorite. It was just a little one, hit his hand, but it left a scar. That's from Russia Today. Interestingly enough, from Danger Room, right after that, Pentagon blinds astronomers to Armageddon. Again, classifying more things. Which leads us finally to space.com military hush up. Incoming space rocks now classified. That's right. There's so much activity in the cyber space war world that anything going on now is classified. Space.com. For 15 years, scientists have benefited from data gleaned by U.S. classified satellites of natural fireball events in Earth's atmosphere, but no longer. A recent U.S. military policy decision now explicitly states that observations by hush government spacecraft of incoming bolides and fireballs are classified secret and not to be released. As we look and we data mine, and we see what the moves are. Don't listen to what they say. Watch what they do. Sometimes preemptive changes happen mere months before a big event happens. So what springs to mind is, of course, the long-time standard operating procedure of letting the pilots and themselves deal with a shootdown. Just a few weeks, a few months prior to 9/11, they changed that, and they had to go to Donald Rumsfeld. So look for those telegraphing of moves. Hathaway confirms she's a candidate for Cyber Chief, future warbot powered by Xbox controller. We note again the U.S. ceases analog television broadcasts. Mercator.net notes that the singularity is near, breaking down Terminator Salvation and the future of humanity. CIA adopting Web 2.0 tools despite resistance. That's from the AFP, and again, you got to wonder if things like that are actually true. Telling you, like, oh, well, they're slow and they're resistant when they may very well already be onto Web 4.0. But making you feel like, oh, you're so ahead because you're Web 2.0. Twitter quitter Trent Reznor says idiots rule and bails from Twitter. Space station headed for population explosion again from space.com. Pentagon Cyber Command still on hold. And we'll see if some big cyber hack power grid space event occurs. We'll be able to point the finger and say, see, you were dragging your heels. Now we just need more control. Pentagon wants cyborg insects to sniff for WMD and offer free Wi-Fi. U.S. cybersecurity chief warns of the market for malware. GovInfoSecurity.com picking the cybersecurity czar. The dawning of internet censorship in Germany from netzpolitik.org. UK follows the US with a cybersecurity agency of their own. That's from securitywatch.co.uk. Here's the weather report for the UK in the year 2080. Floods, droughts, and heat waves. That's from The Guardian. South Korea military networks under growing cyber attack. Which brings us back to the situation with North Korea and all of that. Coupled, of course, with Iran on fire. But the last couple cyberspace war notes on this posting, Singularity, censorship, malware, Mars, and the Moon. It's time for Mars and the Moon. Is there a life on Mars conspiracy? That's from the Times Online. But from Yahoo News, as well as the Telegraph, first back to the Moon, NASA to launch new lunar scouts. And they did. And they have. But the Telegraph breaks it down, and they've even got a nice little propaganda piece from NASA. NASA prepares to bomb the moon. NASA scientists preparing to launch a space mission. They've launched it already successfully. 5:30 p.m. yesterday, Eastern Time, Cape Canaveral in Florida. But it's carrying a missile that's going to fire a hole deep into the surface of the moon. What could possibly go wrong? So that's the last on that cyber space war posting, and I have a big mouth, I can't keep it a secret. The monarchy grows with more tentacles than I'm able to man. Cyberspacewar.com, coming soon to a monarchy near you. But we mentioned in the B-side of 127 just a little bit ago, James Corbett of the Corbett Report doing great work over in Japan. His latest article kicks off this posting that contains other propaganda, phony left-right, lone wolf, hate crime, dangerous, all of it. Media smears of the truth movement reaching a crescendo. Despite recent breakthroughs, and again, we went through a lot of those and others on the B-side, all the latest 9/11 updates, but the media continues to paint 9/11 truthers as dangerous terrorists. Recent months have seen numerous breakthroughs for the truth movement in the corporate media, from Fox 26's interview with Richard Gage of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth to the film 9/11 Press for Truth being aired on local television in Colorado, to also coverage of this year's Bilderberg Conference in major British newspapers. Despite these positive developments, however, primetime TV dramas are continuing to portray those skeptical of the official 9/11 story a clear majority of the American public, according to poll after poll, link after link for you. TV propaganda continuing to portray those skeptical of the official 9/11 story as deranged terrorists who are likely to commit acts of violence. In the B-side, just a little bit ago, we played a long clip from a recent episode of Law & Order SVU, where the man infiltrates those crazy conspiracy theorists who are portrayed as actually being medicated nuts as murderers. And again, shameful display from people like Richard Belzer and Ice-T. Shootings show the threat of lone wolf terrorists. That's from the Associated Press, and again we noted, and again I made a little exclusive rant right up to YouTube of me standing in my kitchen complaining about the ADL, talking about lone wolf terrorists and conflating 9/11 truth with this Von Braun hate racist fringe garbage that, again, I completely repudiate. I cannot, will not be a part of any of that shit. But that's from the Associated Press. But again, we've got a double shot from our favorite left-wing gatekeepers from Microsoft and General Electric. First, again, Olbermann did good probing work when it was the regime from the party he didn't like. Now he can't do the same when his phony party's in favor. And again, we're just counting the days till his job is done and he goes back to sports. Olbermann says that Von Braun is part of a hate crime trend.
Is this not precisely, now that we have these investigations by Homeland Security, is this not exactly what Homeland Security foreshadowed in its report on right-wing extremism?
Yes, the answer is yes. It is precisely what they talked about. They talked about a resurgence of the radical right. They had a great deal of evidence to support that conclusion. It very much mirrored the conclusions of the Southern Poverty Law Center earlier. And, you know, as you well know, DHS was pilloried by political opportunists on the right who were supposedly attacking all conservatives and all war veterans. I mean, it really was a most remarkable tempest in a teacup.
In less than 2 weeks, we've had two fatal incidents, an assassination and an attempt to obviously to shoot up a museum and just kill as many people as possible, stopped by quick work of true heroes. Are these two cases anomalies? Certainly in terms of the mortality they are, but are you seeing evidence of broader patterns of chatter, to use that term, or mobilization or recruiting or whatever domestically?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I think that the groups are definitely growing. They have been trying very hard to recruit around the idea of a black man being in the White House, sort of horror of horrors. And there has been quite a lot of criminal violence as well. In addition to the cases you mentioned, in just the last couple of months, five law enforcement officers have been murdered by right-wing extremists in two different incidents. You know, we've had one guy who was so infuriated with Obama's election as president that he was allegedly building a dirty bomb, a bomb with radioactive parts. You know, and it goes on from there. The day after Obama was inaugurated, a man in Brockton, Massachusetts, stormed out of his house and started murdering black people. When he was finally apprehended after murdering two and nearly killing a third, you know, he told the police that he was going on that evening to murder as many Jews as possible in an Orthodox synagogue. Mm. You know, his complaint was that the white race was suffering a genocide at the hands of others.
Do we now start to take this idea of domestic right-wing extremism and even terrorism seriously? And if so, what does taking it seriously look like?
Oh, well, let's let that question hang in the air. From Sports Night, Olbermann. Like I was saying, isn't this what we were talking about last summer and beyond, that when the Democrats come back in, the enemy shifts to being homeland, homegrown, McVeighs and Wacos and militias. But when the phony right comes in, the enemy's over there and it's Al-Qaeda and terror and people who hate you for your freedoms. But perhaps isn't it that in both cases, they're a small number of hateful fringe nuts that you're conflating into a huge, massive threat to further your agendas, manipulating those useful idiots, dupes, patsies. So we're building this Microsoft General Electric Olbermann Maddow sandwich, but let's put a little meat in between with a Minuteman leader arrested for a double murder.
Breaking news just coming into our News 4 newsroom. Three people have been arrested in connection with a deadly home invasion that claimed the life of a young Aravaca girl and her father. News 4's Lupita Murillo is live outside the Pima County Sheriff's Department, where they just released some pretty startling details. Lupita.
Martha, Sheriff Dubnik just announced the arrest of 41-year-old Shauna Ford. She's associated with an organization called the Minutemen American Defense. Also arrested her associates, 42-year-old Albert Gajola and 34-year-old Jason Bush. Bush was arrested in Kingman, Arizona yesterday in a hospital where he was treated for an injury that he received during the home invasion. Now, Gajola was arrested just about an hour ago, not too far from the Sheriff's Department at Park and Benson. Here's what the sheriff had to say just moments ago.
This perhaps is one of the most despicable crimes that any of us in this organization has ever been associated with. It was just a very heinous, evil act. The fact of the matter is this was a planned home invasion where the plan was to kill all the people inside this trailer so there would be no witnesses.
And, of course, there was a witness. The mother of this child was able to help detectives help them arrest these three people. Now, two of the three, I mentioned that one of them is still in Kingman. Two of the three are being brought out as we speak right now outside the Pima County Sheriff's Department. Those that were that are being brought out and taken to the Pima County Jail are 41-year-old Shauna Ford and one of her associates, 42-year-old Albert Gagiola. They are being taken to the Pima County Jail where they are going to be charged with murder and aggravated assault. A lot of information that's coming to us, and we're going to have a lot more for you coming up on News 4 at 10 tonight. With balanced news for the Pima County Sheriff's Department, Lupita Murillo, News 4.
Murderous, hateful, fringe. Being conflated with all this. We've been talking about it for a long time, how we would shift and see homegrown terrorism being the new great threat to your freedoms. And right on cue, all the stories start to pour out. Abortion murders, Holocaust deniers, 9/11 truth, the Federal Reserve, all of it, all being brushed around, painted all around together. And even what's perhaps more insidious about it all, because it's one thing, you know, to conflate, you know, saying people like us are murderous people who will work with Al-Qaeda to do, you know, we'll work with anybody. That's bad enough. And lawsuits have been filed against people like Glenn Beck for stating such. But it's also being tied in to even people who have dangerous ideas. Not just crazy, fringe, murderous bastards. Now it's time for the bottom of the left-wing gatekeeper sandwich, where Rachel Maddow says that it's the GOP contributing to the dangerous Obama birther movement.
One of the things that has emerged about James Von Brune since this incident is his support for and propagation of right-wing fringe conspiracy theories concerning President Obama. Specifically, Von Brune appears to be a birther. We have discussed the birther phenomenon before on this show. A birther is someone who believes the theory that President Obama is not a natural-born U.S. citizen and therefore cannot legitimately be president. The main contention of the birthers is their allegation that President Obama has yet to reveal his real birth certificate. Mr. Von Brune wrote about that in an internet posting last February entitled, "Obama is Missing." Under the heading, Missing Hidden Documents, Mr. Von Brune writes, quote, original vault copy of certificate of live birth in the USA, not released. One version hidden in Hawaii, original found in Kenya. This baseless, mouth-breathing, whack-job theory became such an issue during the presidential campaign that Mr. Obama did actually release the certification of his birth from the state of Hawaii, showing that he was born in Honolulu in 1961. And yet, the birther movement persists.
On sites like ObamaCrimes.info, I've gone on record distancing myself from the birther questions, not saying there aren't interesting questions to be addressed, because there are. And in fact, could it all maybe ultimately be used to open the door for someone like Schwarzenegger? Not like his political capital is so great right now, but... But things like the birth question, I connect sometimes to the controlled demolition questions of 9/11. The big sensational things that catch everybody's attention that perhaps ultimately don't go anywhere. I don't mean to sound like a Chomsky or anything, but there is so much that we know for a fact on 9/11 and Obama and his handlers that we don't need to speculate. So there it is. And it gets worse, though. Holocaust Museum killer had links to German neo-Nazis. That's from Alex Constantine. But what did we just hear in the previous episode? Oh, that's right. The neo-Nazi was actually a British MI6 intelligence agent. Not in this case, but in others. Remember the book, I Led Three Lives. Freedom in Our Time, .blogspot.com. has a quick article with a nice, funny intro that puts it together. The tragedy and farce of collective guilt. The tenuous, gossamer link of distant association described by Dark Helmet in the film Spaceballs works as a piece of throwaway satirical comedy. He starts this out by quoting the scene towards the end of Spaceballs, where he says something to the effect of, "I'm your father's cousin's brother's former roommate." What does that make us? Absolutely nothing. Under the doctrine of collective guilt being promoted by our would-be cultural commissars, the relationship, that relationship, would also be sufficient to serve as a link connecting Lone Star in the film Spaceballs to the crimes committed by Dark Helmet. Lest it be thought that I'm exaggerating, consider Olbermann's effort to connect Ron Paul, a man devoted to peace and protecting the individual rights of everybody, a man who seems biologically incapable of malice, connecting him to James Von Brune, the troubled 88-year-old man accused of carrying out the murderous shooting rampage in the Holocaust Museum. Olbermann, who looks like one of Eugene Levy's SCTV caricatures, and to our disappointment appears to have the soul of an East German prosecutor, grimly informed his viewing audience that, quote, and we played the clip last week, Von Brune switched his website domain on May 1st to a man who shares a phone number with a woman who's listed as the Michigan coordinator for former presidential candidate Ron Paul. What does that make the actual relationship between Von Brune and Dr. Paul? As Dark Helmet would say, absolutely nothing. The last few notes on the media smears of the truth movement reaching a crescendo was suspect in the Tiller case, a lone wolf. That's from KansasCity.com, and that's about Scott Roeder. Was he a lone wolf? Again, from Alex Constantine, connecting James Von Brune to neo-Nazis and someone named Pedro Del Valle. And finally, adding another to the list of disgusting things to connect and all smear with one big broad brush to Von Brune. He also, of course, had child pornography on his computer. All the major things to demonize, correctly and incorrectly, all being added on to that story. 9/11 truth, Second Amendment, Holocaust denial, Federal Reserve, child porn, Ron Paul, dissent, neo-Nazis, all of it. So again, thanks to James Corbett of the Corbett Report for setting the tone for that posting and the article, Media Smears of Truth Movement Reaching a Crescendo. So what does it look like when the state wheels around this homeland, heartland apparatus? Like we said, when the left comes in, they'll shift it around towards the homeland and the heartland. Police State International posting, skills, drills, dissent, and detention. The first few notes on a frightening, or at least frighteningly depicted, terror drill that happened in New York recently. We have articles from Press TV out of Iran, as well as the Associated Press, New York drill for possible nuclear war. New York, you have a problem. Evoking Houston, we have a problem. Frightening photos of stormtroopers with gas masks practicing to take over cities. Georgia security drill next week expected to slow down Fort Gordon traffic. That's by way of the Augusta Chronicle. Training by military and civilian police from Colorado and Texas building skills at Peterson Air Force Base. That's from peterson.af.mil. And the other drill, not to mention, of course, Ardent Century going on right now, NORAD Northcom, June 18th through the 24th in Oregon, and others. We got the Wisconsin Fire Department and the Army teaming up for a hazmat drill. That's from WEAU.com. But now, a video that I grabbed from WWLP.com, posted it up to YouTube.com/Media Monarchy, where the Massachusetts Police Departments get some heavy artillery.
A number of local police departments are keeping military-grade weapons. 22 News reporter Veronica Cintron reveals how they got them and why.
It's part of a federal program that distributes surplus weapons from the military, and these items range from sniper rifles to grenade launchers. Like other law enforcers, West Springfield officers carry the usual handguns, handcuffs, pepper spray, and ammunition. But unlike most police departments, this force is also equipped with weapons you'd find on the battlefield. West Springfield Police own 2 grenade launchers, 4 M14 semi-automatic rifles, and 1 M21 sniper rifle.
They expecting a war?
According to the Boston Globe, West Springfield is one of 82 Massachusetts police departments that have obtained military surplus weapons over the last 15 years as part of a federal program.
I have no idea what they would use those for.
West Springfield Police Chief Thomas Burke told 22 News, the grenade launchers can be used to fire tear gas in the event of a riot or a standoff. He says his officers are trained to use them if needed.
We haven't had to use this particular type of weapon, but we had it in case we did.
Chief Burke says taxpayers already paid for the guns, and it would be a waste to have them destroyed. For the police department, owning these weapons also means not having to wait for state police to respond to a major emergency. The bottom line, he says it's better to be prepared than sorry. A handful of Western Massachusetts police departments have obtained military weapons from this federal program, including Westfield, with more than 30 rifles, Munson with 6, and Belchertown with 4. In the studio, Veronica Cintron, 22 News.
Massachusetts police getting military surplus weapons. And again, grab that video. It is posted up to my YouTube channel. But further down the list on Police Day International, skills, drills, descent, and detention, Obama admin plans to replace the controversial Real ID initiatives. That's from the Washington Post. Trying to spin it as, oh, they're reacting to the resistance from the states. But they'll just push it down, change its name, and it'll pop right back up as something else. Or, of course, when we beg for some type of Real ID. And the states always reject these things as unfunded mandates, so they reject just from the bottom line angle, even though we wish they would object on a purely civil constitutional ground. Again, with the unmanned blimps, the new spies in the sky, this time from Newsweek.com. They're really putting it in your face now. I believe that's the third week in a row we've covered new news stories on the old story of surveillance blimps. Defense Department sees protests as terrorism. DOD training manual describes protest as, quote, low-level terrorism. Pentagon, multiple choice, dissenting Americans are terrorists. Articles in there, by way of InfoWars, by way of Contra Costa Times, by way of Paul Joseph Watson, by way of Kurt Nemo and Steve Watson. Current DOD anti-terror training course material states that the exercise of the First Amendment rights in the U.S. constitutes terrorist activities. The ACLU has written to the DOD regarding its anti-terrorism and force protection annual refresher training course, which advises personnel that political protest amounts to, quote, low-level terrorism. The PDFs and all the documentation is all there for you, lest you doubt this. I believe in the clip of Olbermann, in the larger clip, he says, well, doesn't this show that the MIAC and Homeland Security reports are all correct? Jumping on board the bandwagon, the new smiling face of Police State International. A funny note, and we always like pranks and hoaxes that are nonviolent and harm no one, but shine a light on the absurdities of modern society. I always like to mention the guys who got arrested for the Aqua Teen Hunger Force bomb scare and their press conference, where they only talk about famous hairstyles of the 70s, culture jamming, media monkey wrenching. North Carolina State student accused of creating a monster, or North Carolina highway monster artist faces charges over sculpture, and finally, traffic cone monster has artist in a jam. Click to Houston.com, NewsObserver.com, and WRAL.com. You got to see the photo of this amazingly hilarious sculpture. Raleigh police arrested a North Carolina State University student who was accused of creating a monster out of construction barrels and placing it on the side of the road. Authorities charged Joseph Carnival with larceny, for taking materials from a construction site at a roundabout project to create the monster. It has vicious, snarling teeth, and it seems to sit on the side of the road and point in your face as you would drive by it. Again, I implore you, check out the photos of the traffic cone monster. McMenacing? Denver cop pulls out his pistol after fast food is slow. That's from CBS4Denver.com. Yes, you heard me right. The cop pulled out his gun after his fast food took too long. And these are the guys that are defending and protecting, observing, and yeah. Email surveillance renews concerns in Congress. That's from the New York Times. Holder urges Congress to pass hate crimes legislation. That ties in again with Von Brune and all of that. With all these postings and all these headlines, it is tough to keep them exactly under the heading I want them on MediaMonarchy.com because these things all swirl around each other. So Eric Holder urges Congress to pass the hate crimes legislation. Proposed new law would let Canadian police snoop on what you do online. Green Nazis, environmentalism in the Third Reich. That's a little on the history mystery tip. Man dead after being tasered 28 times by the Australian police. That's from the Times Online. Outraged former Australian cop points out that tasers can kill. Again, from news.com.au. A UK court allows the first juryless criminal trial. Just ruminate on that for a moment and think about when jury trials are eliminated. The last note, a good one, a positive story, an amazing joining of forces. And I like to see you guys joining forces. Don't be a lone wolf. ACLU and Ron Paul join forces to sue the TSA over illegal detention. And that brings us to our number two of episode 128. Of MediaMonarchy.com. My name's James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show. It's June 19th, 2009. Originating this transmission from the studios of the Portland Radio Authority, praradio.org. And again, thanks to all those affiliates helping spread the message of what is going down. ZeroPointRadio.com, RevereRadio.net, FrOlympia.org, BoulderFreeRadio.com, CascadiaPublicRadio.org. If you've got an internet radio station or even a low power FM station and you'd like to carry the show, you ain't gotta ask. Just do it. Please. So much more to go over. So much more frightening things being discovered, being announced to us. Like this, last night from the Washington Post. Fort Detrick inventory has turned up 9,220 more vials of pathogens. An inventory of potentially deadly pathogens at Fort Detrick's infectious disease laboratory found more than 9,000 vials that had not been accounted for. Army officials said that yesterday to the Washington Post, and it's, of course, raising concerns that officials wouldn't know whether dangerous toxins were missing or not. After 4 months of searching about 335 freezers and fridges at the U.S. Army Medical Research Institute of Infectious Diseases in Frederick, Maryland, USAMRID, investigators found 9,220 samples that hadn't been included in a database of about 66,000 items listed as of February, said Colonel Mark Kortepeter, the Institute's deputy commander. The vials contained some dangerous pathogens, among them the Ebola virus, anthrax bacteria and botulinum toxin, and less lethal agents such as Venezuelan equine encephalitis virus and the bacteria that causes tularemia. Most of them forgotten inside freezer drawers, hadn't been used in years or even decades. Officials said some serum samples from hemorrhagic fever patients, or rather hemorrhagic fever patients, dated to the Korean War. Cordipeter, that's Colonel Mark Cordipeter, USAMRIID's deputy commander, likened the inventory to cleaning out the attic and said he knew of no plans for an investigation into how the vials have been left out of the database. The vast majority of these samples were working stock that were accumulated over decades, he said, left there by scientists who had retired or left the institute. Much like that guy who left his institute in Canada and brought some dangerous vials over the border and got caught, but he was like, I'm just on my way to work in Maryland. Michelle Conan Yao was his name. But continuing, from Cordipeter, saying, quote, I can't say that nothing did leave the lab, but I can say that we think it's extremely unlikely. Whew, I'm reassured. Still, the overstock and the previous inaccuracy of the database raised the possibility that someone could have taken a sample outside the lab with no way for officials to know something was missing. We flash back to April on MediaMonarchy.com, where we note Fort Detrick disease samples may be missing. But now we discover, oh no, they're not missing. We've got them. They're over there. You heard me mention Venezuelan equine encephalitis. We just happen to have horses die of that in Florida the week that story was announced, right as swine flu was breaking loose. We watch the labs the same as we watch the drills, because sometimes the labs have drills about releasing deadly pathogens and bioterror weapons that, of course, only they can make in the first place. Just like swine flu originated from Fort Dix military base in 1976, and all Fort said everybody had to get vaccinated. So they then can make even more money selling you the antidote for a disease they created and released in the first place. So whether it's USAMRIID, Fort Detrick in Maryland, or Plum Island, or Porton Down, it's the same. Foot and mouth, anthrax, Lyme disease. They create it, and it accidentally gets loose. So that's the latest. From the Washington Post, Fort Detrick inventory turns up 9,220 more vials of pathogens. Suppose vial being the operative dual word. But on to a posting I didn't have time for last week on episode 127, spy bugs, microchips, and more to be deployed for the 2012 Olympics. This from BritainNews.net, a leaked Scotland Yard report has revealed that the British police may be planning to deploy Chinese-style surveillance tactics during the 2012 London Olympics. Among the Big Brother tactics deployed at last summer's Beijing Games, remember starting on 888, the same day as the Georgian Saakashvili Russia US proxy war. Among the Big Brother tactics deployed at last summer's Beijing Games was the installation of miniature microphones in thousands of taxis, this so-called restricted report says that I was unable to find in its entirety. The spy bugs directly transmitted passengers' conversations to a police control room, and officers could activate disabling devices to stop the cabs if they suspected criminal activity. To keep a tab on the athletes, visitors, and journalists, tiny microchips were believed to be installed on their tickets and passes. Software linked to the city's 300,000 CCTV cameras was capable of recognizing known criminals and terror suspects, again, the 44-page police report revealed. It further says that there are, quote, lessons to be learned from China's use of digital surveillance, but the fine balance between the use of technology to support security requirements and individual rights to privacy will be an open debate in the UK for 2012. The study was prepped after a trip to the Beijing Olympics by Tariq Ghafoor, a former assistant commissioner. Again, the Sunday Times reports. Link, link, link. Ghafoor was chairing the police committee on Olympic security until last October, before he was forced to step down following a dispute with then-Metropolitan Police Commissioner Sir Ian Blair. The study has been circulated to chief constables, MI5, and senior Whitehall officials as they draw up the $600 million security plan for 2012. According to Home Office Minister Alan Campbell, the ministry is working on a technology that would allow police to halt a vehicle remotely. They already have it, and then they announce it to you. And, of course, links and more on Ian Blair. Sir Ian Blair. So I'm sure spy bugs, microchips, and more are going to be the least of what's being deployed for the 2012 Olympics in the UK. But let's get into the latest swine flu and bio-war updates. It's a pharmaceutical industrial complex. Again, this was some of the things last week that I didn't have time to go into, but it's all the latest on swine flu and level 6. Because we first had the prepping. In recent developments, by way of Wiki News as well as Press TV, the preface, as it was coming, the World Health Organization prepping for a swine flu pandemic declaration. And they did, and we updated the site on June 11th. Swine flu pandemic has begun, the first time in 41 years, according to the Associated Press. The World Health Organization declared a swine flu pandemic Thursday, June 11th, the first global flu epidemic, in 41 years, as infections in the U.S., Europe, Australia, South America, and elsewhere climbed to nearly 30,000 cases. The long-awaited pandemic announcement is scientific confirmation that a new flu virus has emerged and is quickly circling the globe. Who will now ask drug makers to speed up production of a swine flu vaccine, which it said would be available after September? The declaration will also prompt governments to devote more money toward efforts to contain the virus. So many research avenues for you here. Like I said, Press TV, Time Magazine, Terra Daily, Bloomberg, Reuters, on and on. But some of the other updates. Melbourne, Australia, is the swine flu capital of the world, and they were working to force the World Health Organization to declare a pandemic. That's from The Telegraph and Terra Daily. But from The Washington Post, the WND panel criticized the Obama plan to fund the swine flu vaccine. Get a load of this. Again, from The Washington Post, Obama's contingency plan to help finance production of a swine flu vaccine with funds set aside to develop defenses against biological attacks would weaken the nation's preparedness for terrorism, the leaders of a bipartisan commission on weapons of mass destruction said. The White House asked Congress two Tuesdays ago for authority to spend up to $9 billion for a swine flu vaccine and other preparations against the novel flu strain that first appeared in April. Of the total, the administration asked Congress to provide $2 billion in contingent funding. Another $3 billion could come from the Project BioShield Special Reserve Fund, created in 2004 to field countermeasures against nuclear, biological, or chemical threats. NBC. $3.1 billion from stimulus funds appropriated to spur economic recovery, and $800 million from the Department of Health and Human Services, featuring Bilderberger Kathleen Sebelius. But Bob Graham, former senator, Democrat of Florida, and the WMD commission chairman said, quote, using BioShield funds for flu preparedness will severely diminish the nation's effort to prepare for WMD events and will leave the nation less, not more, prepared. $12 21 aboard the USS Iwo Jima have swine flu. That's from military.com. But another great article from Stephen Lindman on globalresearch.ca, readying Americans for dangerous mandatory vaccinations. At least three U.S. federal laws should concern all Americans and suggest what may be coming. Mandatory vaccinations for hyped, non-existent threats like swine flu. But it could actually get worse and become quite deadly as it morphs and moves. Continuing. Vaccines and drugs like Tamiflu endanger human health but are hugely profitable to drug company manufacturers like Roche and Donald Rumsfeld and the rest. The Project BioShield Act of 2004 became law on July 21, 2004, quote, to provide protections and countermeasures against chemical, radiological, or nuclear agents that may be used in a terrorist attack against the United States by giving the National Institutes of Health contracting flexibility, infrastructure improvements, and expediting the scientific peer review process and streamlining the Food and Drug Administration approval process of countermeasures. In other words, the FDA may now recklessly approve inadequately tested, potentially dangerous vaccines and other drugs if ever the Secretaries of Health and Human Services or the DOD declare a national emergency, whether or not one exists and regardless of whether treatments available are safe and effective. Around $6 billion or more will be spent to develop, produce, and stockpile vaccines and other drugs to counteract claimed bioterror agents. A flashback from Alex Constantine, the Rand Corporation, the Rockefellers, Dole, Daschle, and Flu Drills, political intimations of an orchestrated influenza epidemic before the swine flu struck. There's a video and a note from the Big Brother Corporation, BBC, call to make the MMR jab compulsory. Again, more vaccines becoming the law. An interesting story about New Orleans Mayor Ray Nagin. He got quarantined in Shanghai, or he got Shanghai'd. New Orleans Mayor Ray Nagin, who was due in Australia for a speaking engagement, was quarantined in Shanghai over a swine flu scare. Ultimately, he was released. Those reports coming from the agency French Press as well as the BBC. Again, WHO recommending the rotavirus vaccine for all children? That's from Yahoo. U.S. News and World Report. FDA considers psychiatric drugs for kids. We're now just into the general bio wars, not just swine flu. The FDA will decide if three antipsychotic drugs that are commonly used to treat adults are safe for use by children. Drug makers AstraZeneca and Eli Lilly want approval to market Seroquel and Zyprexa for treatment of adolescents with schizophrenia and manic depressive disorder. The Associated Press reports, and the Wikipedia link so you can read more about those pharmaceutical goodies. Pfizer's experimental drug Geodon, G-E-O-D-O-N, if approved by the FDA, might treat young bipolar patients. Although studies in kids have shown the drugs to be effective when compared to a placebo, some patient and consumer groups are concerned about the medication's long-term effects. Side effects of the drug include weight gain and high blood sugar. The AP reports that such side effects could increase the risk of developing diabetes. In a December online issue of the Lancet Medical Journal, researchers reported that Seroquel and Geodon, both known as second-generation or atypical antipsychotics, were no more effective than the first-generation drugs, which are cheaper. And again, we hit the bottom line. That's what it's about. What's the cheapest way I can kill you? Only two antipsychotic drugs are currently approved for use in kids. Bipolar disorder and schizophrenia appear to share common genetic causes, according to a study published in the January issue of Lancet that involved data on 2 million families. We noted on the B-side just a little bit ago that Eli Lilly knowingly sold an anti-dementia drug it knew didn't really work. Last two notes, babies' deaths at Miami Children's Hospital traced to the water supply, and again in Florida, South Floridians' trip of a lifetime halted by swine flu fears. That's from the Miami Herald, both of them. And that's the first post, Swine Flu, BioWars, Pharmaceutical Industrial Complex. Now, even more updates, swine flu, BioWars, and mass vaccinations. coming from Paul Joseph Watson. Government readies schools as mass vaccination clinics. The government's telling schools across the country to prepare to be used as clinics for mass vaccination programs set to be instituted later this year, according to Associated Press. School children are being targeted as the first recipients of a swine flu vaccine currently being developed, despite the fact that swine flu has proven far less lethal than originally feared, killing just 160 worldwide, a figure dwarfed by the number of people who die annually from the regular flu virus. The World Health Organization increased the hysteria surrounding the swine flu last week, raising their alert status level 6, indicating a global pandemic was underway. School children could be first in line for swine flu vaccine this fall, and schools are being put on notice that they might even be turned into shot clinics. With a link to the Associated Press report. Health and Human Services Secretarian Bilderberger Kathleen Sebelius said Tuesday she's urging school superintendents around the country to spend the summer preparing for that possibility if the government goes ahead with mass vaccinations. The last such mass vaccination program to combat swine flu in 1976 resulted in dozens of deaths and hundreds of injuries after the Ford administration, Jerry the Jerk, of course a Warren Commission member, and also leaking info to Hoover. And just history repeats itself. But the last big mass vax program by Ford in 76 attempted to use the infection of soldiers at Fort Dix as a pretext for a mass vaccination of the entire country. Americans have been psychologically conditioned by the mass media to accept the inevitability of enforced mass vaccination campaigns for years. The latest such example appeared in Time magazine 6 weeks ago, where it was mooted that officials would be forced to institute draconian measures to combat the disease. Measures which would, of course, include mandatory mass vaccination programs. Some schools are already working with the government to run mass vaccination drills. 11 schools in Alaska recently participated in a drill focused around dispensing mass vaccinations in the event of an outbreak.
Good evening. Preparing for a pandemic of any type.
The Department of Health and Social Services teams up with the Anchorage School District to practice a mass dispensing exercise of vaccines.
Channel 2's Lori Tipton joins us now live with details. Lori.
Jason, Maria, over the past 2 weeks, 11 schools participated in an exercise to distribute the chickenpox vaccine to students. But DHSS and the district say this is also a chance for them to practice dispensing medication in the event of a large-scale emergency. At two Anchorage schools on Wednesday, a special delivery from the health department. Hundreds of doses of the varicella vaccine to prevent chickenpox.
Hey, look over there. Those, okay? 1, 2, 3.
Poke. The state now requires all elementary students have 10 shots of this vaccine by this fall.
Okay. Yeah, we're done.
Yeah.
Hey, it doesn't hurt.
Isn't that amazing?
It's not funny.
If you couldn't make that out, that was a little kid getting a shot. And he was scared. And then he said, "Oh, that didn't hurt." And his parents all laugh. And he says, "That's not funny." The last few headlines here. Swine flu updates, BioWars, and mass vaccinations. CDC planning massive swine flu immunization. That's from the Washington Times. Big Pharma concocting their swine flu vaccine. That's, of course, Baxter. Sebelius, again, targeting kids for vaccination. Brazil finds a new strain of H1N1. That's from Breitbart. Swine flu vaccination poses serious threat to your health. The link was originally on a site called euro-med.dk. The post disappeared, but I now have linked up for you the cache that's up on Google that you can grab. Swine flu vaccination poses serious threat to your health, quoting, among other things, global research, the Nuremberg Code, the Associated Press, on and on and on. China sets out new quarantine regulations for the flu. That's from Reuters. Again, Baxter expects to deliver H1N1 vaccine to WHO. Oh, now it's by July. We can't wait till September. That's from PharmaBiz.com. And finally, FDA threatens to seize all natural products that dare to mention H1N1. That, of course, could only come from naturalnews.com. The third and last thing I wasn't able to fit into last week's episode 127 of MediaMonarchy.com, but again, I think it ties in quite well with what we're going over here. Biowars, spy bugs, drills, media smears, the cyberspace war, terror drills, and all of it. And this isn't the last time we're going to mention propaganda and the American broadcasting company, ABC. But the latest is Earth 2100, the depopulation agenda on primetime TV. This from informationliberation.com. After watching ABC's Earth 2100, I couldn't help but feel a sense of the New World Order's hand on bringing this to TV. Although it comes off as a hypothetical representation of the possible future of Earth in the next 100 years, the story behind the story is simply depopulation. With the environment as a front, which is often the case with the NWO agenda, the premise of the human condition as the enemy and the need to decrease us in order to sustain this planet is clear and present. Just look at something like the Georgia Guidestones, let alone ABC's Earth 2100. You'll notice many references to the population explosion mentioned throughout the film. The potential reason for the FEMA camps and coffins might be explained with a surge in environmental refugees fleeing to the United States. Seclusion, separation, and even killing of the same refugees by armed border police in mass executions. Not to mention the number of the deaths that would occur in the refugee camps from disease and hunger would also potentially be in the hundreds of thousands.
100 years from now, if New York is abandoned, I picture some explorer coming to Manhattan saying, "Those ignorant people, how on earth could they have ever expected to survive?"
We're running out of oil, we're running out of water, we're running out of atmosphere, we're poisoning the whole planet.
We have a chance to get right. We have a chance to move in the right direction now. I don't think that window of opportunity is going to be open very long.
One can hope that suddenly society will realize that it's on a doomsday path and change very rapidly.
It's June 8th, 2015. One carton of milk is $12.99.
Gas has reached over $9 a gallon.
I'm scared as hell right now, but I have to get this out.
If we continue on the business as usual trajectory, there will be a tipping point that we cannot avert. We will indeed drive the car over the cliff.
Which will say that, yes, there are real, real, real environmental catastrophes building and looming. But they're not the ones that they want you to be afraid of. They want you to be afraid of the ones that you're guilty for. It's your fault. You're dirty. Even though we're just stuck using the things that they make us use because they shelve the higher technologies. And if all this was true, if ice caps weren't melting on Mars, and that's not your Hummer doing that, if all this is true and the Earth is overpopulated, well then, like Bill Hicks said to people who worked in advertising, I'll say to the people who believe in depop and eugenics, kill yourself. We do have linked up, of course, there's all the think tank white papers by white men, terror drills and war games that are used as the basis for this ABC special, Earth 2100, Center for a New American Securities Clout and Climate Change War Game that's featured in Earth 2100. All the links are there. You can read the PDFs. You can look at their PowerPoints. You can see it all. The depopulation agenda on your primetime TV. But oh God, like I said, that's not the last we're going to hear about ABC News and propaganda. It's time to roll out the carpet, to lay down the palm leaves, and make a path for Obamasiah and the Apostles of War. ABC, NSA, CIA, and the Fly. First, ABC turns over its programming to Obama. This coming first, and that's where I found it, amazingly enough, from Drudge. ABC turns programming over to Obama, news to be anchored from inside the White House on the night of June 24th. I actually did first hear this from Clyde Lewis in our interview on Ardent Century and Operation Blackjack. On the night of June 24th, the last night of those terror drills, I might add, the media and government become one when ABC turns its programming over to Obama and the White House officials to push government-run health care. A move that has, of course, ignited an ethical firestorm. Highlights on this agenda, ABC News anchor Charlie Gibson will deliver the world news from the Blue Room of the White House. The network plans a primetime special, Prescription for America, originating from the East Room and excluding opposing voices on the debate. More on that in a second. The director of communications at the White House Office of Health Reform is Linda Douglas, who worked as a reporter for ABC News from 98 to 2006. Republican National Committee Chief of Staff Ken McKay sent a complaint to ABC News. That's all posted up for you. ABC News Senior Vice President Kerry Smith responded to the RNC complaint saying it contained false premises. False premises abound. ABC prides itself on covering all sides of yada yada. I'm not reading any more of that garbage. Because we can go to U.S. News and World Report. ABC says no to GOP ads during Obama healthcare special. So it's not just a crazy Drudge right-wing reactionary thing. It's a big ABC Obama healthcare infomercial. Down the list, Senate unanimously approves a resolution apologizing for slavery. That's from the Washington Post. House health care proposal adds $600 billion in taxes for you. That's from Bloomberg. First, gays decry Obama's stand on the gay marriage case. That's from the Associated Press. But then, as if to quell any of that, he announced federal benefits for same-sex partners. That's from the Deutsche Press Agency. And as I've pointed out, not to diminish what are important issues to a large number of people, like abortion and gay marriage and the like, they're often used as the little political social footballs that your little partisan teams can bandy about with, when ultimately the puppets and their string pullers don't care about that. It ties into Depop. Panetta and the CIA says finding bin Laden a top U.S. priority. That sounds like some change you can believe in. A great one from The New Yorker, and hat tip to my man Kurt for sending me this. The Secret History. Can Leon Panetta move the CIA forward without confronting its past? Senior Democrat says Obama's czars are unconstitutional. That's from Ken Klukowski over on townhall.com. which we try not to go into very often. Left or right, phony progressive, fake conservative, right-wing reactionary Michelle Bachmann, we at least point out she has been calling out the Obama administration, but again, it just kind of shows you the WWF-ness of it all. However, when they start talking about the realm of gangster government, I think it's important to listen to.
Is that what we have come to in this country? That rather than a private business with a private contract with another private corporation, they're no longer able to work out their agreements? Because as columnist Michael Barone has called, he said, now we've moved into the realm of gangster government. We have gangster government when the federal government has set up a new cartel and private businesses now have to go begging with their hand out to their local, hopefully well politically connected congressman or their senator so they can buy a peace offering for that local business. Is that the kind of country we're going to have in the future?
On down the list, another story that sheds a light on the Chicago Combine. The land of Al Capone still exists with Mayor Daley and, of course, the recently deposed Blagojevich and Obama himself. Service Inspector General fired by Obama for investigating Hood Corps Mayor Kevin Johnson. This comes from truthnews.us, and this ties into, again, the cronies running the foundation-funded ops in small communities. What Webster Tarpley refers to as poverty pimps, being funded by the Rockefellers and the Soroses to tear up your communities and also get involved in some national service. The crazy firestorm of Obama and the fly by way of CNBC, as well as the Deutsche press agency Obama and the Fly. In a recent interview with CNBC, Obama expertly swats and kills a fly, as if some kind of Danielson with chopsticks. And PETA weighed in, he shouldn't kill the fly, and yada yada. We like it, again, just for the strange symbology and signals of all of it. We've said more and more recently that groups like the ACLU are thankfully already and have been perking up going, hey, I think your change is a big lie and you're not doing what you said you were going to do. We've got a bunch of videos, only a few we're going to play clips from on this Obamasiah posting ABC, NSA, CIA, and the Fly. ACLU says Obama not keeping his transparency promises. But we even had Bill Maher of late of Politically Incorrect, target of 9/11 truthers, and the current host of HBO's Real Time. He was on with Sports Night Olbermann's, where he mentioned that his hope is fading.
I don't know if it's bipartisanship I'm so concerned with as caving in to corporations and lobbyists. I mean, the track record so far is not good. You know, we did an editorial on our show Friday night. It was pretty hard-hitting about Obama not putting it on the line and standing up to the energy companies, the healthcare industry, banks. And previously when I had criticized Obama in front of my, you've been on our show, our very liberal Southern California audience, they were booing me. You know, my crowd in my studio booing me, which is fine. But on Friday night I was expecting the boos and they weren't booing anymore. They were cheering. I think they're getting to the point where they're realizing, yeah, we still like Obama. He's our guy. We're glad he's president. But where's the beef? And it's easy to make speeches. What's hard to do is stand up against corporations. Corporations and their incredible strength are what have ruined this country so far. And this president, we thought, might be the one to stand up to them. I'm losing hope. I still have audacity, yes, but my hope is fading.
So there's Bill Maher saying that his hope is fading. Obama says he can't deliver change because, quote, we don't want to tilt at windmills. That's from Washington's blog. Another note, another video clip, noting, pointing out, threatening, that Jeb Bush will be GOP frontrunner for 2012. Panetta, again, our current head of the Criminals in Action, the Cocaine Importation Agency, the Central Intelligence Agency, Panetta says, Cheney seems like he's almost wishing the U.S. to be attacked. Obama will, of course, keep his promises to block detainee abuse photos. And it's not just torture. Well, I guess it is, because, you know, raping and murdering people in front of their families, that's kind of like torture. Also being blocked is access to the White House visitor list. That's from MSNBC. Obama blocking the list. And we do even have someone from the foundation-funded fake progressive Nation magazine. They do good work. Don't get all... Someone from the Nation on one of the talking heads. Oh, let's click and see who it was. Oh, it's Keith Olbermann this time. What a surprise. They at least call the White House's blocking of visitor logs insidious. We again have Obama touting the volunteer efforts. That's from the Washington Times. And again, say it with me. We need a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded. Playing the part, doling out the satire, playing with the phony left-right paradigm, but still shedding light on things that the others won't mention, even if they're making fun of all of it. Stephen Colbert wants to join the female version of the Bohemian Grove.
Bohemian Grove. Now, as opposed to the Belizean Grove, the Bohemian Grove, or Bohemian Club, is an all-male 130-year-old secret society of captains of industry, international power brokers, and every Republican president since 1923. Herbert Hoover called it, quote, the greatest men's party on earth. And Richard Nixon agreed.
The Bohemian Grove is the most fucking goddamn thing you care to ever mention.
That is really saying something for a guy named Tricky Dick, who paid a man with this mustache to do secret plumbing for him in the 70s and then paid him to keep him quiet. Now, every year, Bohemian Grove holds a retreat in the Bohemian Grove in Northern California, where they are rumored to engage in costume pageantry, simulated human sacrifice, and worshiping before a 30-foot stone owl. Clearly modeling their rites on our most distinguished cultural institution, it's a small world. Well, in 1999, after being denied membership by Bohemian Grove, a group of women started their own same-sex organization. The Belizean Grove.
That's right. We mentioned the Belizean Grove just a few weeks ago, and that, of course, the new Supreme Court nominee, Sotomayor, was a member of the female Bohemian Grove. And I have to say, it's great that Colbert played the clip. We've played it before of Nixon talking about the Bohemian Grove, which, of course, is coming up very soon, just a few short weeks away. It's Grove time again. I think in that clip, in the larger clip, unedited, he mentions Sotomayor and her recent broken ankle. We now have Hillary Clinton breaking her elbow. She's undergone surgery for this broken elbow. The signs and semiology of all of this is endlessly interesting. As we see folks like the ACLU saying, you're not keeping your promises. As we see Bill Maher saying, my hope is fading. As we see cabinet and future cabinet members literally breaking themselves and breaking their bones as they're flailing around in their agenda. Wow, it seems stalled. Isn't this what Joe Biden, Colin Powell, Madeleine Albright, and the rest said? There's going to be a test coming along in the first 6 months. The world is going to test Obama just like they did Jack Kennedy. Something's going to come along that we don't even know about yet. Biden said, it's going to look bad. It's going to look like we're flailing around and we don't know what we're doing, but we need you to stay on the Obama-Rama team. Is that what's coming up? As we look both in the homeland and the geopolitical spectrum abroad. Another video, NSA spied on Billy Clinton's email, so Hillary Clinton's broken elbow and Bill Clinton's surveilled email. We also have Dianne Feinstein saying the NSA isn't collecting the contents of email. More on mountaintop mining. Plan targets fallout from mountaintop mining. Obama administration criticized over failure to disclose coal dump locations. That's from The Guardian and the Associated Press. And finally, tying that into Obama, or rather Maher, losing hope. Hope fading. Even Howard Dean, he's surprised by Obama's slipping approval ratings. Another clip from Raw Story. So just as it looks like everything's floundering and failing, throughout history we'll seem to get some catastrophic and catalyzing event. We're just about out of time here on episode 128 of MediaMonarchy.com, and I won't have time to go through every little detail, but we hit it when it was starting last Friday during the show, and that would be the elections in Iran. No shortage of news and information out of there. So we see China and North Korea and everything ratcheting up. We have Iran on fire. Elections, questions, and protests. First from Wikinews, and again, this will be a truncated version. Protests, riots, and violence broke out in cities in Iran last Saturday night following an election, which many in Iran and the world say was fraudulent. Demonstrations took place late into that night with waves of police fighting protesters in Tehran, Shiraz, Mashhad, and Rasht. Protesters chanting "Death to the dictator" occupied major streets around Tehran, with roadblocks being set up against police. Tear gas was deployed around the Valisir district of Tehran, and on and on. This involves Ahmadinejad and his opponent, who is bringing out the throngs of supporters, Mir Hussein Mousavi, the candidate in the Iranian presidential election. Iran on fire. Elections, questions, and protests.
Incumbent Mahmoud Ahmadinejad has won a landslide victory in the Iranian presidential elections. Most of the votes counted, the country's electoral commission has announced. But the opposition has said it will contest the outcome and has complained of voting irregularities such as ballot rigging. The campaign headquarters have described the result as a dangerous charade.
Recently re-elected Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad has put off a trip to Russia, which he was meant to make today. An embassy official in Moscow wouldn't say why there was a delay, but that he'll arrive on Tuesday. Over the weekend, Ahmadinejad spoke about the elections. His victory has been contested by his reformist rival, Mir Hussein Mousavi. A rally planned for today by Mousavi's supporters has been postponed, according to his website, after the Interior Ministry refused permission for it to go ahead.
Supporters of Iran's pro-reformist candidate have taken to the streets of Tehran to protest the country's presidential election results. According to the government, hardline President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad cruised to a landslide victory, winning more than 60% of the vote. However, that's not sitting well with supporters of Mir Hossein Mousavi, who was widely expected to fare much better at the polls.
Iran's Council of Guardians, which oversees elections there, agreeing just moments ago to recount some, not all, but some of ballots from last week's disputed election. The 12-member Guardian Council includes clerics and experts in Islamic law. It has the apparent authority to throw out an election if it sees fit.
Iran's Supreme Religious Leader says he doesn't object to partial recount of votes in the disputed presidential election. Ayatollah Khamenei has met with envoys of presidential candidates after several days of massive protests following election fraud claims by the loser.
Iran's newly re-elected President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad has issued the world a warning. Speaking at a press conference, he said that any country daring to attack Iran would deeply regret it. His words come as the world watches his country descend into rioting, the likes of which have not been seen for 30 years.
I think that the propaganda against Iran, the depiction of Iran as a warlike nation, as a nation that's composed of mad mullahs who want to unleash an atomic holocaust on Israel, I think that that is really pervasive throughout American news, throughout the mainstream news.
Just a quick encapsulation and quick channel changing of just a few little sound bites of the massive amount of audio and video going on in what started out as just being an election and has turned into a huge social upheaval involving cyberspace and social networking. A massive laundry list of headlines. I'll just hit the biggies. Protests greet Ahmadinejad win in Iran with "It's not possible." Israelis back Ahmadinejad while holding their nose. In wake of mass protests, Iran cuts off cell phones, YouTube, and Facebook. 7 protesters killed in Iran. Supreme leader goes to recount. The CIA's Iranian plan. That's from informationclearinghouse.info. Don't miss that one. InfoWars asking the question, are you ready for a war with a demonized Iran? And so the Brazilian president isn't the only one. They all get into the act. Ahmadinejad stresses the need for a new world order. And the last list of updates that I have from June 18th, with unrest in Iran, cyber attacks begin. That's from Computer World out of New Zealand. State Department talked to the U.S. State Department talked to Twitter about Iran. Again, Twitter and the social networking sites, it's no accident. Twitter's on the front of Time magazine this week. It's a part of the zeitgeist. The U.S. State Department intervened and told Twitter, don't turn it off in Iran. We need it. Sarkozy says Iran election a fraud. Iran activists get assists from Anonymous and the Pirate Bay. BBC caught in mass public deception with Iran propaganda. Not the first time the BBC's been caught fooling the public. But that's from Paul Joseph Watson, and that involves photographs of one protest being attributed to the other protest. More from international war criminal Henry Kissinger. He said Obama's handling the situation in Iran well. That's from thinkprogress.org. But we also have a video where he basically subtly threatens regime change in Iran if this coup fails. Iranian elections, the stolen elections hoax. That's from Global Research. And lastly, ABC News reporter again, ABC. Jim Sciutto, S-C-I-U-T-T-O, his Twitter account was hijacked by pro-Iranian government messengers. Iran on fire, elections, questions, and protests, along with all the Twitter-ganda you can handle. So that's what's going on. We've gone from what's going on deep within Portland, Oregon, and the terror drills, and Operation Blackjack, and the sun symbology, teardrop, psyop, to elections and instability abroad. Again, as we glance at Google News one last time, right now, it's just about high noon here in downtown Portland, Oregon. June 19th, 2009, Iran's Karabi calls for election cancellation. And Iran says it will not be held responsible for bloodshed. Again, the U.S. military set to intercept a North Korean ship suspected of proliferating missiles and nukes. Fox News really pushing that story. We also mentioned on the B-side previously that Japan intelligence has said that North Korea may be planning to lob missiles at Hawaii on Independence Day. That's going to do it for this episode. But like I warned you and teased you earlier, to stick around for the list of creepy customers coming to MediaMonarchy.com in the past week. We're basically going to go through the list pre- and post-Ardent Century. So before these terror drills started yesterday on June 18th, and they'll run till the 24th, just again, putting this on the record, it may amount to nothing, but it's already amounted to something. We had Fort Benning, the School of the Americas, where those aforementioned Colombian generals who were busted for running drugs were trained. Even Susan Sarandon speaks out against Fort Benning in Georgia. They were visiting MediaMonarchy.com. General Electric out of Fairfield, Connecticut. We again had Fort Natick out of Massachusetts. Natick.army.mil. They Googled Ardent Century Exercise. American Forces Information Service out of D.C. Googled Ardent Century 09. The Maryland Procurement Office out of Baltimore Googled Ardent Century 09. The Navy Network Information Center out of Pensacola, Florida Googled Ardent Century. DCMA.mil, Defense Contract Management Agency out of Alexandria Googled Ardent Century 09. The camera company Canon USA out of White Plains, New York Googled Anderson Cooper CIA. Again, the Navy Network Information Center. Boeing making a visit out of Seattle, reading about the recent disclosure about Area 51, UFO sightings, and codename Oxcart. That would be, it ain't alien, it was, of course, military. Army.mil, Fort Huachuca, Arizona, Navy Network Information Center, this time out of San Diego, the Home Depot out of Atlanta, Georgia, as well as the Turner Broadcasting System, also in Atlanta, both visiting. The Oak Ridge National Laboratory out of Knoxville, Tennessee. They were reading about the DARPA chief staying on for now, but of course Tony Tether is gone and they're looking for the new head of DARPA. We also had a visit from the Pentagon, WHS.mil. Then my Ardent Century 09 posting, NORAD NORTHCOM run terror drills, went viral. It got picked up by a lot of sites. If you haven't read it, please get it, spread it out, put it on the record. When that post went viral, I got a lot of other interesting visitors, and here they are. A law firm, Larach, Coughlin, Stoya, Geller, Rudman, and Robbins, out of San Diego. They were reading the Ardent Century post. DreamWorks Animation, out of San Francisco. Girl Scouts Totem Council East King Server, out of Seattle. Shell Oil Canada, out of Alberta. Fisher Development, private contractors out of Plano, Texas, as well as the Ann Arbor Coffee Company. Again, their ISP routed out of Plano, Texas. And finally, again, Boeing, digging around for information about Ardent Century and Operation Blackjack out of Seattle. Cryptogon.com noted Boeing trolling around his website as well for information about Operation Blackjack, which one more time I'll say, is the bizarre scenario put forth months ago by the London Telegraph about attacks taking place in London on June 20th, 2009, and then New York and L.A. and Toronto and Portland, Oregon, on June 22nd. That's Monday. I'm here. You're there. It's on the record. This may all be nothing. This may all be an elaborate, amazing psyop that's still spooling out on jackblack12.info. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if it's viral marketing. I don't know if it's anything. But it's been put on the record. It's been on episode 128 of MediaMonarchy.com. It's June 19th, 2009. My name's James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show. Again, huge thanks to the Portland Radio Authority, praradio.org, zeropointradio.com, the Revere Radio Network, Free Radio Olympia, Boulder Free Radio, Cascadia Public Radio, and you. So like my man Webster Tarpley says, get active or get radioactive. Here in Portland, we're going to keep watching the skies. Take care.
Made no difference. The thought police would get him just the same.